Hey, we got a special update before we start our show. This is Bill Knight, Jim Harrington with me, but we've actually already done the show and getting ready to put it out there to you. But a news story broke that's important because it could mean communication across this country and whether we're here or not tomorrow or any talk show is here tomorrow. And Jim, I'll let you elaborate on what's going down.
This came across the Gateway Pundit. In an unprecedented move, the unification of three notorious hacktivist groups, Killnet, Anonymous Sudan, and Revil, declared a cyber war on European banks. The three hacker groups declared their intention to unleash a massive cyber onslaught on the European banking system, threatening to bring it to its knees within 48 hours. The information was relevant as of yesterday. Russian online newspaper Lenta reported this on Wednesday. So that 48-hour, the clock is ticking. It hasn't happened yet.
So we have 24 hours, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing. But then again, if they do go down over there, what's to stop it from happening here?
Exactly. Are we like a backstop? Everything is interconnected, folks. Everything. If they're bringing the internet to its knees in Europe, it's going to have a ripple effect around the world.
Somewhere your cell phone will go through an internet line. That's just the way it is. Somewhere your landline will go through an internet line. Definitely your computer goes through it. So friends, we could be without communication. And that can be a scary thing on a lot of levels. So there's nothing we can report about it because it's all premature. And if it happens, you know, there's no communication, so just know what's out there lurking and
what might happen. Yeah, but rest assured, okay, it won't be forever. I mean, because too much relies on communication, and when the communication system is reactivated, when it's back in place, we will get back on the air and give you some reports to let you know what we think's going on and what happened. And but it's going to be an interesting time. I think this is a much more significant story than you would expect. They say it's, like I said, three notorious hackers going after the European financial system. But there is no such thing as just the European financial system. It's global. It affects everything. If you crush the European banking system, it's going to crush our system, too. It's just the way it is. So do not be surprised if we have an interruption in communication in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, just be prepared for it. You know, and I can't tell you how to have a safety plan, because if the internet goes down, the phones go down, unless you got a lot of string and tin cans,
yeah.
And
maybe if you have a CB radio in your house somewhere, you might want to dust it off, make sure it works, and make sure you have an antenna for it. So at the very least, you can communicate with somebody down the street. Maybe
here's what you do: you get some radios. Actually, you get like it's with the ham group, but
right.
It's the GR something or other frequency band. But those radios have a 50 to 75 mile range, and they can get pretty good wattage. And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to have a license for those, so you could have emergency communication within a pretty good area.
The question is, do they have time to get it in the next few hours? You know,
Amazon, it would take overnight. But if you go to, you know, they have them that can go across town. And they're license free. You see the CB radios, but no, it's the other one that has the R in it. I forget what it's called, but those are an FM frequency, and they go a long ways, and they're allowed to have more power than the other stuff. So I would probably say, put it in the glove box, keep it around the house in an emergency.
Hey, friends, that's it. That's our little update that we're adding to our show today. And with that, I think we'll go into the show, which was already recorded, and it's a pretty good one.
Let's do it.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, what day is it? It's Thursday now. We're getting close to the weekend.
It is. Last I checked, yes. It's the one before Friday. Yes, a Thursday, yes.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad somebody has a calendar in front of them because without a calendar,
I'd be lost.
Yeah, we'd be lost. You know, it's kind of funny because we've had some big stories, obviously, the indictment, the big thing, and everything around it. It's kind of weird with the news right now. There's a little bit of, there's some big things brewing. But there's a lot of mushiness, too, in the news, if that makes sense.
Oh, there is. You know? Yeah. You know, I was sitting down last night. I was pondering where we are.
Pondering.
don't you like that? Yes. I was thinking about, wow, how did we get here? How did we as a country get to this point where a lot of us don't trust our government anymore? We don't trust our leaders, any of them. I mean, you heard, maybe you didn't hear this, but I guess it was yesterday that Anna Paulina Luna made a resolution to have Adam Schiff censured and have a $16 million fine. And you would have thought that would have been a slam dunk. If it was reversed, if it was the Democrats doing it against the Republicans, they would have united in lockstep and saluted diligently, right? But no. The Republicans didn't do that. The Republicans had a bunch of rhino defectors who voted with the Democrats. Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota, Lori Chavez from Oregon, Juan Siskamani of Arizona, Tom Cole of Oklahoma, Warren Davidson of Ohio, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Kay Granger of Texas, Garrett Graves of Louisiana. I'm reading the whole list. To hang in there. Thomas Kern Jr. of New Jersey, Kevin Kiley of California, Young Kim of California, Michael Lawler of New York, Thomas Massey. Boy, there's somebody you would have expected to be a yay and not a nay. Thomas Massey of Kentucky, Tom McClintock of California, Marcus Molinaro of New York, Jay Obernolte of California, Michael Simpson of Idaho, Michael Turner of Ohio, David Volandeo of California, and Steve Womack of Arkansas. Those are the people who said, we're not going to vote for that.
Well, that's a big piece of, well, that's a big fight here.
Yes.
And I hear two distinct pieces there that I'm going to slice out. Now, number one, with all that list of rhino Republicans.
Yes.
Well, that goes back to what we have talked about earlier, that with the deep state, I think that they've got something on these guys and they have no choice, whether it's no choice or no desire to really support anything, because they're turncoats, they're in disguise, and the deep state owns them.
Here's what I think they figure. They figure, ooh, if we do this to one of them, when they're in power, and you know it swings back and forth that pendulum, what's to stop them from doing that to me if I vote yes? I think these are spineless wimps. Myself, I think these are spineless wimps. Now, we also had two who voted present. George Santos, he's the one from New York who lied about his resume and is in all kind of trouble. I guess he figured, look, I'm in no position to vote yay or nay on this one because I got my own problems. But Daryl Issa of California, you would have thought that he would have had some cojones, as they would say. But, you know, he's also one of the guys who went out and visited the World Economic Forum this past, I guess, three, four months ago. So you don't know what to make of these people. And there were also three Republicans not voting. Neil Dunn of Florida, Tony Gonzalez of Texas, and Patrick McHenry of North Carolina. So if you take them all together, there's 25. I mean, 20 nays, there's two present, and there's three not voting. You lump them all together because those presents and not voting really were essentially a nay because they didn't vote for it. And you have 25 Republicans with no spine.
And you know what? If you really wanted to find out their true colors or their intent, You go back and see how they've voted on a number of issues that are important.
Yeah.
If you got the same group or pretty much the same group, then I'd venture to say they are on the wrong side of the aisle. And, you know, everyone talks, well, the Republicans have the majority in the House. It's not a big majority, and I don't know that we even have it when you you wonder if some of these guys are really Republican and have our...
Bill, this would have been a slam dunk, you would have thought.
Should have been.
Yeah.
Should have been, and that's what I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting. They're talking... I hear in talk shows now people saying, well, maybe we should consider primarying these guys out, meaning find a loyal substitute for these rhinos in their district and then put your support behind them and try to get rid of them. I think that that's a possibility, but I think the swamp runs deep, and it is a polluted swamp, and I don't know whether we're ever going to get the results. If you think about what's going on, this goes back to my pondering thing.
I do that in the bathroom, but that's another thing.
Yeah, I call that my library. That's where I do my serious reading. But if you think about what's happening in our world, the people who are old-fashioned Americans who believe in the values that you and I believe in, they also call them MAGA. MAGA to most people means Make America Great Again, which is something I wasn't taught because of Donald Trump. I was taught because of my mom and dad when I was a kid. I was taught, you know, I think today's Flag Day. Today, by the way, is Flag Day in the United States.
Didn't hear about it, did you?
No, but that's the American flag we're talking about. I could be wrong. Maybe I think it's the 14th, 15th, rather. Well, anyway, Flag Day was either yesterday or today. Either way, it's close enough for government work. And the fact of the matter is, I heard nothing anywhere about it. The only flag I hear people talking about is the Pride flag. But the only flag I'm proud of is the American flag, personally. You know, and I think that we got our values all screwed up in this country. I think the media, and I want to talk about that if we can in a few minutes, the media has helped to mess us up big time. And I think that we've got to make some changes or we're done.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was funny because I was driving yesterday and I was thinking about the flag. And I, you know, the media didn't talk about Flag Day. And I don't keep a calendar around where I look at every circled holiday. Yesterday was Flag Day. But the observation that I was making as I drove by all the homes flying flags, I probably saw, you know, 20 or 30 flags, and maybe two of them were the American flag. You know?
Wow.
And that tells you a lot.
Was,
you know, you
it
talked
was
about
yesterday. You're right. It was yesterday, Bill.
You talked about trust in the government and nobody trusted it anymore. And when did that start? Well, it started years ago because trust is built over time and it's lost over time. Well, we haven't been building trust for years. I mean, when you look back in most of our lives, they have been tearing down democracy in our society. So, yeah, I mean, I saw a survey. It was yesterday, as a matter of fact, about, you know, do you believe this on Trump and everything like that? 69% of the people in that survey said, that's a bunch of bunk.
I believe that. I believe people feel that way.
And this wasn't a Republican survey.
Hey, Bill, I got another survey speaking of that. Just came out today. 54% expect cheating and voter fraud in 2024 election. Over half the country right now on this day expect they'll be cheating.
And you know what? The media doesn't mind letting that get out there, and the left really probably promotes, well, we got to get that out there. We got to build the vote. It's not about building the vote, friends.
Yeah.
It's about saying, have you ever heard this before? Yeah, I don't vote because it doesn't count anyway.
Oh. Yes.
So what they're doing is building that stigma. Well, you know, your vote's not going to really count, but they don't tell you not to vote. They're subliminally planting that thought that who cares?
I mean, I keep thinking to myself, are we going to have another pandemic before the next election? Because that's what the Democrats really use. They use mail-in ballots, because you know a lot of states said, well, if you can't vote in person because of the pandemic, we're going to have a much more relaxed mail-in ballot situation. It'll be a lot easier for people to vote by mail. And
exactly.
It's not going to be that way if they don't have another pandemic. You know, so Bill.
Something's going to happen. I mean, you still got the thing going on in the Ukraine. Well, Russia's losing all these soldiers. Oh, no, the Ukraine's losing all these soldiers. Russia hit with a barrage of cruise missiles and did some devastation overnight. And one of the military generals of the Ukraine sat there and said, well, yeah, Russia's lost a lot of forces. You know, we've lost a lot, too. Can't tell you the toll. You know, he goes, but, you know, both sides lie about their losses and wins because that gives away strategic information. And I said, you know, that's probably the most truest thing I've heard out of the Ukraine yet. Both sides lie. And the simple fact is, you know, there has been severe loss of life. But he said something about their insurmountable forces, which translation means Ukraine has got less lives to lose than Russia. So, you know, Russia may be losing a lot of troops. But you take that equal amount or more, the Ukraine is going to run out of bodies to fight. They're running out of population, too. You know, so this war is done for the Ukraine. And why we are helping promote it, I have no, well, I have
ideas. Well, it's money. But, it's money. Yeah. And it's money and it's power. And you know, guys like Joe Biden, corrupt Joe Biden, have been making millions of dollars. We know that now. I mean, the head of Burisma has 17 tapes that have Biden negotiating his deals with the Ukraine and Burisma. 17 tapes. I mean, that's a slam dunk deal. The guy should be going to be measured for an orange jumpsuit right now for what he's done with the Ukraine alone. Never mind China, which is a whole other story. He got $5 million. He and his son got $5 million each. $10 million to the Biden family because of their criminal actions.
And there are documents, two supporting documents that dot the I's, cross the T's. They're guilty. You have the proof and those 17 tapes. But here's what's going on. The head of the director of the FBI sitting there, can we see those documents? No, we're not going to release them. Can we hear the tapes?
Well, who's the FBI working for now? Who is the FBI working for? Are they working for you and I? Because we pay their bills. We pay their salaries. We pay for the expansion of their facilities. We pay for their equipment. The taxpayer pays for that. But does the FBI answer to us or to Joe Biden and the left? I would submit to Joe Biden and the left.
I would submit that if we quit paying taxes, the government would still run because money is...
Who prints the money?
The government.
Who prints the money? If they need more, they'll get
it. Print it. So, yeah, you know, in other words, you paying the money you've earned, the tax dollars, which it's not backed by gold, is just something that they use to keep you in shackles.
So
you a slave to the man.
So we have a situation now where our government has attacked the front runner of of one party, former president and front runner of one party. They have criminalized him. This administration, with the help of guys like Alvin Bragg in New York, and that prosecutor down in Atlanta, they are co-conspirators to not just cripple but to destroy Donald Trump and his family. And it won't be good enough to just damage him. They've got to crush him because he'll win in jail. If they put him in jail and he's still breathing, Donald Trump will win because they will made him a martyr. Trust me, they cannot do the damage they think that they can do. They can tell you that he did the worst things in the world. You can have the CNN anchors oh, shaking their heads like, can you believe this? But Donald Trump will win because the people don't believe the charges. They don't believe this administration, and they don't believe the leftist media either. As a matter of fact, it's beyond my comprehension that a network like Fox that had the trust of a large segment of our society would throw it away, would throw that trust away.
69% believe it is a bunch of bunk, and you sit there and you look at those numbers, and I'm going right now, I saw another set of numbers where actually Trump's popularity and people that say they'll vote for him is over 70%. Now, you'll hear different variations of that or somebody twisting a fact, say, well, it's dropping in support. But the simple fact is this guy is growing in strength and popularity because deep in our hearts, everybody knows that it's wrong, it's fake. But a lot of people on the left, well, they're so built into partyism that they don't care that what they're doing is wrong.
Since the indictment, which was yesterday, right? The Trump campaign has raised over $7 million.
Tuesday, actually. Today's Thursday.
I thought he made this speech yesterday. I thought you said
No, I'm sorry,
Bill. You're absolutely correct. It was Tuesday. I have my days messed up, too. But then again, I'm old, and I drool.
Well,
I drool sometimes.
Every day is the same day to me. So
it's Groundhog Day. Yes. You wake up. Exactly. That's
today
the story. That's the story of my life, too. But anyway, yeah, Trump campaign has raised over $7 million since the indictment news broke. So, yes, I'm glad you corrected me on that because I would have been going around all day looking like the Joker in the court, the King's Court.
Well, you're the punchline to an old Carpenter song. It's yesterday once more.
Exactly. Exactly. The other thing, you know that they're desperate on the left because they're going now after, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they're going after Aileen Cannon's experience. Aileen Cannon is the judge.
Yeah.
She's the judge down in Florida who's been assigned the Trump case, right? So the New York Times launched an attack on Aileen Cannon yesterday. Aileen Cannon, who was a Trump appointee, was assigned President Trump's federal case in Miami. President Trump last Thursday evening announced he was indicted, and we know the whole story. But now they're saying in the New York Times that she just doesn't have that experience. She just isn't capable of making the decisions that have to be made in a case of this size and magnitude, you know?
Oh, well, you know the reason. She's not a Democrat.
Well, that's exactly right. She hasn't been enlightened by the left. That's what they're saying. You know, they're also doing two things. This is influencing. They're trying to influence the outcome of what is supposed to be a neutral indictment. You know, she's supposed to be able to look at it as a judge without any pressure from the left or right. She's supposed to be able to see the facts and then make a decision. But because of media outlets like the New York Times putting these hit pieces together, that's pressure. They're trying to influence this woman so that she will feel pressured to lean more towards their side, if you know what I'm saying.
You know, people, though, they always go, well, you know, the media is getting more nasty in the newspapers.
Yeah.
And they got these nasty memes. But really, lefties have been in charge because the media with nasty memes and hit pieces, that has been going on way back since the beginning. It is when you only had papers, you know, you would see they had somebody. You never saw a positive meme or cartoon pro-Republican or pro-conservative.
Yeah.
You always saw it leaning to the left because when this country was put together, it wasn't founded on left policies, but they infiltrated and they right away go, oh, we can't have this because it's a party of one and about control.
The people who run the deep state are the people who have the massive amounts of money. It's how it works. Even back in the old days, back in the 1800s, the guys who ran the big newspapers were the guys who owned the mills and the factories and the utilities and things like that. They had the enormous wealth, the big houses with the shiny marble floors and the pillars out front and the carriages and servants. These were the people who influenced our world. But even back then, the deep state, it hasn't changed. You know, now their names are Zuckerberg, Gates, Soros, and the like, and others that we don't even know their names, but we know that they're wealthy. So this has got to change. If you don't think this is happening today, that they're trying to manipulate our world, I mean, look around you. They're going after a guy who was a president. You know, by the way, he wasn't supposed to be president in 2016. That was a mistake. And they're bound and determined to never let that happen again, no matter what. But anyway,
that was an oversight in their part.
It really was. They had underestimated the amount of people who were on Trump's side, and they just couldn't believe it. But, you know, when Trump was coming back from the indictment on Tuesday afternoon, it was Tuesday afternoon, Bill, just in case you, on Tuesday afternoon.
I'm glad you told me that.
Thank you. He stopped into the Versailles. Versailles en français, s'il vous plaît, merci. Versailles, the Versailles restaurant. And he was greeted like a champion, the champion that he is. He was greeted with warmth and love and affection. And here's how they reacted to that on CNN.
Various national security laws and then obstructing and refusing to cooperate with the FBI.
Whatever this spectacle is that's unfolding before us, let's remember what this case is about. Let's remember what this indictment charges. Again, Donald Trump is charged with a series of federal felonies for mishandling the most sensitive government documents that we have and for obstruction of justice, along with Walt Nauta, who is charged with intentionally setting up lies to the grand jury, to the FBI. Any way you look at this, and again, despite whatever may be going on in that restaurant, this case isn't going to be settled legally in a cafe. It's going to be settled in the court based on the facts and law.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already. Let's go over again the 37.
Oh, and I've had enough of you. We've seen you. Yeah. You know, that was Jake Tapper, by the way, at the end. Folks in the control room, we don't need to see any more of that. You know, I want to remind you of one thing, Bill. That's called... What they were watching on television was called news, N-E-W-S. Yeah. It was an event that was happening in real time by the focus of the world. I mean, all eyes were on what was happening in that little restaurant. And this clown, Jake Tapper, and I say this with all purpose. I mean, the guy is a clown. The guy is an arrogant moron who they gave... glasses and a nice suit too, and told him to stand in front of the camera and sound important. He has the audacity to tell everybody we don't need to see that anymore. That's a PR. They're making a commercial, campaign commercial. Hey, but he wasn't the only one, by the way. Rachel Maddow. They showed him going into the Versailles restaurant. And then Rachel Maddow comes on and says, you know, we have a responsibility here at our network to broadcast the truth. And when we know something isn't truthful, we won't air it. So we're not going to be airing this event.
That is a crock of crap.
Yeah.
You know, when we know something's
but
not true.
That's how they talk.
What is truth? Well, if we don't agree with it, that's the truth. No, it's not. You know... It's about, look, you have two sides of a coin,
mm-hmm.
you know, so let's let America decide.
But see, that's,
what is fiction
that
and what's
would be
truth.
News, and they aren't news. And this goes to what I was going to talk to you about a little while. You know, the character and quality of our news people have changed drastically since I was a kid. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, look, you know, academia, you know, it starts in academia,
yeah.
And it goes from there. I mean, you've got, you've got kids going to school now. Well, Jonathan, welcome to kindergarten. How do you feel today? Do you feel like you're a boy?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're a girl? Do you feel like you're the lamp?
96% of all educators are leftists, a liberal. 96%. 96. That means 4%.
Because their paychecks are attached to the liberal side. And
one of the biggest unions also is the teachers' unions.
True. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? Think about it now. You got teachers. They're basically employees of the government. You know, the biggest employer in the country is the federal government. You know, so you salute who you're beholden to. That's just how it works. So when you want to sit there and go, why is this battle so uphill? You're fighting, when we say the deep state, which owns the government, well, that's what you're fighting.
So these little kids come out of school. I mean, I'm talking about college. They go right through school. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, even in regular like high school and stuff, it's not that they have a direct manipulation on the part of the faculty, but they make subtle innuendos, subtle comments, and little pushes. Oh, you're for Trump? Yeah, that you would be. And then they go on to talking about something else. Little things like that that add up over the course of time. So, and then they get to college, and in college, these arrogant, erudite, snobby professors, and I have a degree, okay? I mean, it may have taken me forever to get it, but I have my bachelor's degree. But the fact of the matter is, these guys are teaching your kids to be a leftist, not to be open-minded, not to think for yourself. They're teaching your kids to be leftists. Now, getting back, before I forget, Bill, to the anchors, to the reporters of today, average age is 27. Their experience as a reporter, for the most part, are political elections and campaigns. That's it. They have nothing else to lean their hat on. They're shallow. They're empty, but they're really full of themselves. They really have. Now you want to add something?
I was going to say a light went off on something that I got from my son, who's in college right now.
Right.
Now, you know that the bailout thing for the student loans didn't go through.
Right.
But apparently Biden has a backup plan, and it's floating around the schools, and the kids are reapplying. And I said, well, wait a minute. This is for old loans. Oh, no. It's the new loans, too, because they got a backup plan. And so the kids that are now just starting college or going to school are applying for the $20,000 loan because the forgiveness,
right,
because it's guaranteed to everybody. They're buying the youth. And so when you think,
it's sad because the kids don't realize this because they can't. They're too young and they haven't got the life experience. What they don't realize is that free gift of $20,000 is coming out of somebody's pocket. It's essentially coming out of their parents' pockets, their grandparents' pockets. Somebody is going to pay that bill for those kids who are getting the free gift of an education. So it's nothing is free in this world. Nothing.
And once you've sold your soul, your body, your nothing, you're like a hooker. You never come clean from that. You know, you've given it away, and probably because you get on that government teat, you're going to stay on it at some level. You know, you're giving up your very person, your humanity, and our democracy.
Anyway, the deep state, it's going to be a massive challenge on the part of Donald Trump if he ever gets into office. I don't know how the guy is going to be able to extricate it from our government and our society, because it has been there forever. It is nothing new. It didn't just happen. It's been around for decades. The players have been changed, but the positions and the power that they have has been there for ages, okay? And they smile at new administrations that come in and talk about how they're going to change the world, because they know that nothing gets by them, the deep state. And if you come in and start talking about rocking the boat, well, they'll sink yours. At least that's what they think. And I'll tell you why. One of the guys, in my opinion, who was big-time deep state is a guy who was about as close as you get to Donald Trump, and that's Mike Pence. Mike Pence was the vice president. Now, understand something. I would probably be surprised if Donald Trump only met Mike Pence shortly after he was elected. Or, he was a recommendation from somebody. Maybe Mark Meadows or something like that. But somebody had to say, you need a strong vice presidential candidate who has a real feel for Washington.
You know, in 2016, let me ask you a question. I know it's a long ways back, but think about it now. Did you know who the hell Mike Pence was? I mean, I'm asking listeners.
Actually, I knew who he was. I've always been kind of a political junkie, so I knew who he was, a representative, and he was a governor of Indiana at one time.
But not everybody knew that. He kind of, faded into the woodwork. He was a broadcaster.
I know.
He started on that. And that's how a lot of broadcasters know who he was. Oh, we got a broadcaster in there. Yeah.
He's such a big feeling guy. I mean, if you watch him talk, he really kind of believes his own press clippings, if you know what I mean. I mean, somebody had to tell Mike Pence, think about this for a second. I mean, there probably wasn't a more hated guy in our country on January 6th of 2020, than Mike Pence, because he showed absolutely no courage whatsoever. He had no loyalty towards Donald Trump. When push came to shove, he shoved Donald Trump. And that's as simple as that. He didn't stand up. He didn't send the vote back to the states like he should have. Nope. And he could have done that. I don't care what he will tell you. The fact of the matter is he didn't have the cojones to do the right thing. But anyway, he was on with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton yesterday for an interview.
Right.
And, I kind of like him. I listen more to Bongino, to be honest with you. But I do go back and forth sometimes. If I don't figure Dan's doing something that's interesting, I'll pop over and see what's happening with Buck Sexton and Clay Travis. Well, they had Mike Pence on. And Clay Travis, I believe he's an attorney. That's his background. A smart guy, done a lot of work at ESPN and sports. Knows a lot about it. But Pence started giving him the line of horse stuff. Okay, he started to talk about why he wouldn't give Trump a pardon, or he didn't come out and say he wouldn't, but he didn't come out and say I'd back him because what's happening is a travesty. He was evasive, and a non-answer is a negative answer, in my opinion. If you say I'm not gonna make that decision right now, I have to weigh the evidence, I would say you're a liar.
You already weighed it.
Yeah. Anyway, here's what it sounded like. This is Clay Travis and Mike Pence.
I want to circle back to the first question there, because I don't think you directly answered it. So let's presume you're fortunate enough to take oath of office January 2025. You become the next president of the United States. Donald Trump is convicted of what I think you would agree are clearly, to a large degree, political-based charges. He is facing time in prison. Maybe they even put handcuffs on him and walk him into a prison. Would you pardon him from those federal charges?
Well, first off, these are serious charges. And as I said, I can't defend what's been alleged, but the president does deserve to make his defense. And I would say to each one of you, look, I've been a former governor. I've actually granted pardons to people. And I take the pardon authority very seriously. It's an enormously important power of someone in an executive position. And I just think it's premature to have any conversation about that right now, guys.
Hold on. I mean, let me just ask you that, because I think as a matter of principle, if you believe, as both Buck and I do, that Donald Trump is being prosecuted to a large extent for political-based reasons, something that has never happened in the 240-plus-year history of the United States, that we are setting an awful precedent here. And I think it's important to look at this even before the case has taken place. You've read the indictment. You know what the allegations are. They are serious. Right. But to me, what is gained by allowing Donald Trump to be put in prison in the event he was convicted is we lose infinitely more by not just taking a principled stand and saying, as a matter of principle, this shouldn't happen. I'm not going to allow it. To me, if you're the executive, you are the ultimate decider. With all due respect, when you aren't telling us what your decision would be, I think you're dodging the question and frankly, not stepping up on the front of leadership, which in the past you've been willing to do. So I, to me, not answering is a no.
Well, look, number one, I don't think you know what the president's defense is, do you? I mean, what are the facts? I mean, look, we either believe in our judicial process in this country or we don't. We either stand by the rule of law or we don't. What I would tell you is I think as someone who has
what I'm hearing is you're fine with Donald Trump being put in prison, sir, and that to me, since you were his vice president, feels pretty disrespectful.
I had a standard rule. I don't talk about hypotheticals. Look, we don't know what the president's defense here is. I think he's entitled to make his defense, entitled to have his day in court. And look, let's take it one step at a time. But I would just tell you that
But if you know that these are political charges, and you do, this is not a difficult decision.
I think we've gotten what we're going to get here in terms of an answer to this one.
I think any conclusion by anyone running for the presidency of the United States that would prejudge the facts in this case or prejudge the investigation into President Biden or his family is premature. Let's let the process play out. Let's follow the facts. And I promise you, as president of the United States, I'll do just that.
If he was the only guy running in the whole race, he would not get my vote. You know, he says to Clay Travis, "Well, I don't think you know the president's defense, do you?" Yeah. I absolutely do know the president's defense. The defense is he was the president of the United States when these allegations were, when he supposedly did the things that were wrong. He was the president and had the right to do it.
And those documents are his. But yes. Now let's look at that. You know, maybe Mr. Pence ought to go back and look that he had documents that he shouldn't have had.
Yeah,
they're overlooking it now. But let's go on. Let's just say that Trump gets eliminated from being able to run, and Pence is our candidate, you know, and all of a sudden numbers go his way, which I don't believe would happen. But let's say that they do. Do you think for 1 minute the left is going to sit there and go, "Well, we can't go after him on the documents"? Hell no. He's guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think.
So is Biden, but they don't care. If they're going to give anybody a pass, they're going to give only Biden the pass. Pence can go down as far as they're concerned. Pence needs to come clean and sit there and stand by Trump.
Well, let me ask you a question, Bill. You know, and I know, I think, that he hasn't got a snowball's chance in hell to be the president of the United States, Pence.
He's not even polling at 1%.
Yeah. So how in the name of God can he believe in the furthest recesses of his brain that he will ever be president of the United States?
Well, why is anybody giving him any time? Not even a percent. Why is he getting time?
I don't know.
You know, he's not even a fly in the ointment. You know, just get him out of here. Unless he can do something to get momentum, he's trying to grab onto something that doesn't exist for him.
Now, you just heard Pence say that he didn't come out and say he'd pardon President Trump immediately.
He won't.
So that says he will not do it. Do not think for 1 second that that is a one of, meaning that's the only thing that he won't do. If you have a family member who is imprisoned in the D.C. gulag, in Washington, the Washington gulag for January 6th atrocities, meaning like they were on the steps of the building or they might have strolled inside the Capitol building for like 3 minutes and now they're in jail, they've lost their jobs, their families are in trouble financially, all of those things. Of course, a good, solid, patriotic American might turn to these people and at the very least say, "Look, at what I think what you did was a mistake, but you've paid enough now, and I'm going to pardon you all, and you can go home." Do you think Mike Pence would do that? Listen.
the Constitution of the United States.
Sir, on that, Donald Trump says he is, quote, inclined to pardon many members of the mob who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. Those people were, of course, part of the same mob who built gallows and chanted about wanting to hang you. Would you consider pardoning any of them?
You know, on the day of January 6th, I issued a tweet demanding that people leave the Capitol and end the violence. And I said that those that failed to do that should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I continue to believe that today. We cannot ever allow what happened on January 6th to happen again in the heart of our democracy. And I'll stand by the decisions and the due process of court in our laws. And I have no interest or no intention of pardoning those that assaulted police officers or vandalized our Capitol. They need to be answerable to the law.
I got to tell you, you know, if he did a talk show in Indianapolis, he would have put me to sleep with that delivery. Holy smokes. I worked in broadcasting for half a century just about. This guy, if he is pondering through his words with being deliberately thoughtful about each and every single word that he says, it would have driven me off the road as a listener. You know?
Well, if I would do something like that and pause deliberately before I ended the sentence, I'd be... I mean, I'm sorry. I'd put myself to sleep if I talked like that.
Exactly. Anyway, he wouldn't pardon President Trump. He's not going to pardon the January Sixers. He's kissing derrière to the deep, to the deep. Yeah, you like that? To the deep state?
Yeah, derrière, yeah.
Yes. You got to wonder. You look at the Mike Pences. You know he hasn't got, a snowball chance in hell. You look at Chris Christie. Who told Chris Christie? You know, Chris, Donald Trump is ahead in the polls by 40 points over the second place guy. But this probably means it would be a terrific time to bring you into the election. I mean, Chris, you can come in there and you can really challenge him in the debates. I remind you, he did that once before, and he was sliced and diced. Verbal by President Trump?
I think he's just in there for the all-you-can-eat buffet myself. I don't think he has any other intent.
And the beach, the free beach pass.
Wells allowed.
You know, it's amazing. He closed the beaches in New Jersey, this guy Chris Christie.
And then he goes out.
Yeah, with his family. And, you know, I guess one of the TV stations was flying by with their helicopter, and they saw it's hard for me to criticize anybody with a weight issue because, you know, you get older and...
But you close the beach for people to come out and then you go waddle your fat butt out there yourself. Come on, you opened the door for all the ridicule and all the harassment and bad jokes because, hey, listen, you put yourself in the shape you're in and you put yourself out on the beach when you told... Everyone, you can't go out there.
But what makes these people think that they have a shot at being president? I mean, seriously, Chris Christie, forget it being shot at being. I don't think he could be governor of New Jersey again. I doubt that he could probably be mayor of Trenton. You know, and this guy is an arrogant, pompous, a guy who is not thinking about your well-being. He's thinking about his well-being and his family's well-being. He's not the guy he pretends to be, and he's a massive disappointment. Have you ever thought of how many people, when you first were introduced to them on the political stage, you were impressed by them and thought, my God, this could be the answer. I looked to Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis seemed like a pretty knowledgeable guy. He seemed like Trump version 2. He might be the answer to who's going to replace Donald Trump after the next administration?
Well, DeSantis is making some mistakes because there was a lot of hope and promise for him.
Right.
I stood kind of in reserve going, I don't know enough about him. Well, you know, the more he speaks, I'm hearing people that were going, well, yeah, at least we got DeSantis. Now they're going, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust him because
he can't do a room like Trump. Trump can walk into like a restaurant, Bill, and everybody loves him and he loves everybody in the room and they feel it. DeSantis, I saw him walk into a room and he snapped at somebody. He made some kind of a nasty remark. What are you thinking? Or something like that. It was like, I thought, do you say stuff like this in a crowded room with an attitude?
I already see the meme against this guy, because every time he goes out and somebody says something, and they talk about Trump and him, he'll go, seriously? Seriously, you think? And then it was me.
Hey.
I'm like going, well, there you go. There's the seriously meme. You know, this guy, he is thin.
What if what if I told you today that I heard that they're talking about arresting DeSantis for something?
Yeah.
They're talking to him. The left is already thinking, hey, look at it. If we can take
dismantle
Trump,
the whole left. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So I heard today that they're talking about figuring out a way of filing charges against DeSantis for doing something.
You can file charges against anybody. As a matter of fact, if they can't just take our candidates down, they're going to file charges against, well, people that might vote to the right. And yeah, that's even if you're a lefty. I'm sure they could come up with some kind of rule or law and proclamation of what people that would vote right are. You know, they're already labeling. They got to do that.
And while all of this is happening to the decent Americans, Hillary Rodham Clinton, she raises her ugly head. She was on some show called Crooked. Honest to God, it's a podcast called Crooked. I never heard of it, but then again.
She was probably their number one guest of all time.
But she was out, and the guy who was, I guess, the MC is a guy named John Lovett. It's not the John Lovett from movie fame. I looked at this guy. He's much younger. I guess he's a comedian somewhere, but here's how this went.
Republicans claim that you got off, you did the same thing and got off scot-free. Why did your friend Jim Comey let you off so easy?
That's a really good question. I can't figure that one out. You know, I do think it's odd, let's just say, to the point of being absurd. How that is their only response. You know, they refuse to read the indictment. They refuse to engage with the facts. There's nothing new about that. And what they refuse to admit is, you know, this is on a track about him, not about anybody else. No matter how much they try to confuse people and how much they try to, you know, raise extraneous issues. And it's going to be fascinating, I guess, in a bizarre and sad way, to watch them spin themselves up. If you watched any of the news programs this weekend, I mean, their efforts to defend this man are truly beyond anything that I ever thought possible in our country. I mean, it is so profoundly disturbing how this could have been the break. This could have been the opportunity to say, you know, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. We really appreciate it, you know. But this is kind of serious, and so we're not going to, you know, continue to defend you. But no, they're all in again. That's what the psychology of this is so hard for me to fully grasp.
I think that is the secret behind the indictment. I think that she gave it away in that interview. They expected on the left that if they were to indict Trump, he would have, two things could have happened. He could have said, look, I'm not going to run, I'm going to back out. And the charges could have been dropped, and that would be the end of Trump, and he would not be on the playing field anymore. That was one thing that they thought was an option. The other thing, they honestly believed that by indicting Trump, all of his supporters would say, oh, well, I guess the left is right. I guess the left is accurate. I guess we shouldn't support the guy anymore. And they would turn their back on Trump. Instead, they've doubled down on their support of President Trump, and they can't figure it out on the left. They can't understand it. Anyway.
I don't know. But, you know, the scary thing is, now Hillary's getting up there in age, but, you know, she's with her fan base.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that hate her. But she's... she's kind of got a Trump-esque thing going too, where she's evil, but she would be a worse foe than having Biden, because I think she was part of the engineering of all. Well, I don't think. I know she was a part of the engineering of the steal. She's realized her mistakes, and she knows how to correct them, you know, because it's a machine that they've got. And she knows how to turn that crank.
Well, you know, I think if you would ask her, she probably would say, oh, I'm not interested in being president right now. I heard her say that two other times when she ran. Seriously. Like in 2012, somebody asked her, oh, no, I wouldn't run. And then she ran in 2016. You know, she is really interested, in my opinion, in the position. I think she thinks that Joe is vulnerable. And I think you're going to see a lot more of her making appearances. And, you know, she really does have somebody do her makeup. And she probably has had a ton of plastic surgery.
I ran into one of the makeup people at a Trump rally, and they talked about what a bitch she was. And she pays big money to take that hag face and turn it into something different.
Yeah.
But she's very disrespectful, vulgar. And anybody that's ever dealt with her in person, she's above everybody, and she's mean and rude to him. So that's her demeanor.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, heck, I think her husband, you know, I used to think that I felt bad for Hillary because I guess Bill had his dalliances, but maybe he had a reason. Maybe she was difficult to be around, you know?
I don't know. I think he's always been that way. He always considered himself a ladies' man, and he did. A dear friend of mine, an attorney in Pittsburgh, did some stuff for me. He also was in the PA Senate, but he's a Democrat. But I remember when Clinton was first running, and you know, he said to me, "We just got to get him to keep it in his pants just for a little bit longer, and he'll be president." And I'm sitting there going,
"Yeah, good luck with that."
You know, I'm like, "No,
good luck with that." Merrick Garland was making comments yesterday. And he commented on the indictment and his support of Jack Smith. Listen.
Can you give the American public a very clear sense of what exactly your role was in the indictment process, just so people can understand what that role is? And then secondarily, given the historic and extraordinary nature of the case, explain to people, if you would, why this was the best and most appropriate step that was taken and why there were no other alternatives.
I'm trying to remember the first question.
Exactly, your role.
Yes, so my role is completely consistent with the regulations that set forth the responsibilities of the Attorney General under the special counsel regulations, and I followed those regulations. With respect to the second question, this again is asking for particulars, and I'm not going to be able to comment. All of the comments on this will have to come in filings in court.
Might I say that he's a lying sack of Jawia? He is amazing. You know, it's consistent with how you should handle a special prosecutor. Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hit job. And you know it, and I know it, and everybody listening to this podcast knows it. But I guess that's what he has to say, right?
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, it is.
Jumpin' Joe Bill was question about, he did a speech last night.
Oh God, that was
I hope I can get this to work right. This is Joe Biden. It's he was talking about build back better. I want you to listen to that phrase.
Oh,
Bill.
He also admits that they created the problem.
Oh, well, listen carefully. Yes,
mobilize the world's leading emitters to help poor countries deal with the impacts of climate change. They called it the G7, the Build Back Biden, Build Back Better, and we realized that got confusing. So now we don't call it that. What we call it is, here's the bottom line. Look, we're the ones that caused the problem. The United States.
There you go.
We cleared all our land.
I love it.
We did all the things to make things more easy for us to make money.
Would someone help this man off the stage, please? Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
You know, the thing is, though, we laugh at him, and you feel sorry when he has these moments, right? But the fact is, he's causing a great deal of evil damage. He really is. And in his moments of lucidity, he is just wielding an axe against the foundation of our country.
I kind of wonder if he has any lucidity at all, or, you know, any sanity at all, because, you know, that if you talk to a stroke person, they get all discombobulated like that, but their words are slurred. His words weren't slurred. You know, it was, and he was kind of fast talking. It almost sounded like, and I'm not conspiracy or theorizing anything here, but it almost sounded like he had an one of those AI implants that helped the brain and everything and your mouth work together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it malfunctioned.
Hey, don't put it past them. They probably have that. He's the leader of the free world. Can you believe that? Holy smokes.
Well, we're talking about Dumb and Dumber, let's go to Dumber.
Okay.
John Fetterman, you know he's in the news.
Yes, how are those mushrooms?
I was just going to say he supports the use of magic mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
For mental health therapy.
Yeah, if you're not aware what magic mushrooms are, Bill, maybe you could explain in more detail. What is a magic mushroom? What does it do?
Well, it takes you to
a different
all kinds
place.
Of altered. I'll tell you this. Where do you find magic mushrooms?
Well, I think they grow in Pennsylvania, don't they?
Oh, yes. I remember when I was down in Florida, there were mushrooms that were growing in the divide there because I don't know why, because usually they grow under cow patties.
But sure. and I guess
want those shrooms.
If you find these mushrooms, you make darn sure you rinse them off first, right? Yes.
Probably a good idea, but I don't think those people care. Ooh, let's see that mushroom.
So what does Fetterman want to do? He wants to make this illegal to use psychedelic mushrooms?
Yeah, he supports the use of magic mushrooms for mental health therapy because it clears your mind. No, it doesn't clear your mind, friend. You will go to a place that you don't care about what your mental state is.
Yes.
You know, and that was like the old thing.
Why am I suddenly hearing the song Incense and Peppermints by the Strawberry Alarm Clock in the back? I hear it in my head now. I mean, hey, man.
Boy, this is like in a God of DeVita, which
baby.
Was in the Garden of Eden, but they were so stoned, it came out, in a God of DeVita, baby. Stoned, man. You know, whether it's an acid trip or a mushroom trip, you're going on a trip beyond the moon.
And, you know, I used to, when I had my own advertising business, we did a documentary.
Did acid?
No, we didn't. No, I never. I was Mr. Straight, even in broadcasting. Can you believe that? I mean, in this business, I was the guy who, didn't do that stuff. But when I had my advertising business, we shot a documentary on moonlight mushrooms. They were based in the northeastern part of the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, and we went down like 300 feet into there. They had them in limestone mines, and they would grow them in the dark. They grow better in the dark, and they grow better at a certain temperature. It was hard to shoot a video when you went into a dark room when everything's black.
Turn the lights out, please. Yeah, we're shooting a video in here.
Anyway, the thing is, there is an industry, a real legitimate mushroom industry, that isn't psychedelic in states like Pennsylvania. But what he's talking about is, a type of mushroom that has been like illegal, man. You know, it's a psychedelic mushroom, you know, and it takes you, like Bill said, it takes you to a whole different place, you know, an altered universe, and it makes you feel like you never felt before, you know, and you don't want to drive a car with it, you know.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. You know, shrooms are unlike potato chips where I bet you can't eat just one.
Yeah.
You know, just one will knock you on your butt.
Yeah.
You know.
But John Fetterman, who, of course, is our astute and esteemed senator from the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He, a man of great austerity and dignity, and he's the guy who said, hey, man, one of his first big moves, let's get some magic mushrooms and make it legal, you know? Unbelievable. I mean,
hey, you know what? If you want to go on a mushroom trip, you don't have to. Just wake up at sunrise on Saturday morning. It is not the dawn of Aquarius, but we do have a rare alignment of the planets Saturn, Neptune, Jupiter, Uranus. Uranus is in the picture, and Mercury.
That's a sight to see.
And we're shooting the movie in the dark here. Will you? Guess what we're filming.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of things happening. And by the way, you know, John Fetterman, I might say, if you're listening to our podcast, it's a kind of an amazing thing if you're listening to our podcast. But if you are listening to our podcast, there are things like lowering taxes and maybe like improving our roadways that you can look at. I know magic mushrooms are right up there in the list of things that you have to fix.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
But you might want to just...
Absolutely.
You might want to look at things like make healthcare benefits, making healthcare more affordable. Things that I know they're mundane, but it would be kind of nice if you worked on it, you know?
But, you know, if you do the magic mushrooms, who cares?
That's true. You take the magic mushrooms and everything's good.
It's all good.
Yeah, all the
even
roads
if it's bad, it's good. It is the magic elixir.
All the roads are smooth, and you don't need to worry about your health care, dude.
Oh, no. Oh. You got to amputate my arm? Well, let me have another mushroom, please.
You know, this is what the left wants. You know, the left wants the whole their whole agenda is to keep the country stoned. They won't realize what's happening to their world.
Oh, it was a Barbara Streisand song going down the Stony End or something
like that. Yeah, you know? Stony End. Exactly. Or Stone Cold Love by the Supremes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Boy, Stone Cold Picnic.
Stone Cold Picnic. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's get out of the top 40
stage. It's like Itchy Kupac. What did you do there?
We got high. I had to go get some calamine lotion to quit the itching from Itchy Kupac.
Listen, friends, I think we've done enough for this show. We're going to go look for some mushrooms right now. Have a great day, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Okay, my friend?
Yeah, I got some raisins here, but not the same thing.
Oh, before we leave, let's back
raisins?
This bus up. No, we should point out that our phone number, if you want to contact us, our phone number is 833-538-7868. 833-538-7868. Maybe we should have T-shirts made about psychedelic mushrooms.
I got a graphic software and some cool. I got a
so
nice mushroom picture.
Good. Yes.
Yeah, I might work on that. You never know. Mail at itsanotherday.com. Mail at itsanotherday.com. You know, not only do you get us by our postings on social media, but you also get us on itsanotherday.com. You'll find us on Podbean, where this originates from. You'll find us on iHeart. You'll find us
Spotify.
On iTunes, Spotify. Well, the list goes on and on and on and on. And did I say it goes on and on?
It goes there's on and on, yes.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of places that just pick
that's
up
true.
One of the downloads.
And if you don't find us someplace, have a mushroom, and all of a sudden we'll be there. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. You'll have your own talk show with a lot of voices all in your head, baby.
Exactly. It's,
what did you do there? I got high. It's all too beautiful.
Goodbye, Bill.
It's another day.
The Voice of Freedom, CRN America. These days, when you want an answer about just about anything, you ask Alexa. You ask her about the weather. You ask her who won your favorite sporting event. You ask her to find a fact that you can't find anywhere. Well, we did that too. We asked her how many people have downloaded itsanotherday.com. And this is what she said.
From acceleration.com, it has been downloaded as much as 260,433,467 times.
I know. Seems like a lot. Seems like a lot to us too. But it's Alexa. Thanks for making us a part of your day. And tell your friends about itsanotherday.com. We could use an extra listener. I mean, what do you do when you only have 260 million?